Happy 246th birthday, a day in which Americans celebrate this fragile democracy after overthrowing a king. And this year, they also take in allegations that a president sent armed supporters to Congress to subvert democracy and an election. Over the weekend, Congresswoman Liz Cheney, vice chair of the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol, made her strongest statement yet about whether the committee should refer former President Trump to the Justice Department for criminal prosecution. Here she is on ABC's This Week with Jonathan Carl.
So the committee will or will not make a criminal referral?
We'll make a decision as a committee about it.
So it's possible there will be a criminal referral, which
yes.
would be effectively the committee saying that he should be prosecuted, and this is the evidence that we've uncovered.
The Justice Department doesn't have to wait for the committee to make a criminal referral. And there could be more than one criminal referral.
More than one criminal referral. Well, the committee has to wrap up its report this month. So what have we heard? Former U.S. Attorney Barbara McQuaid, now a professor at the University of Michigan Law School, is here. Welcome. Happy 4th.
Oh, thanks, Robin. Happy 4th to you as well.
Yeah. And first, what do you make of what Cheney is saying here about how there could be more than one criminal referral?
It is an interesting comment. I don't know if she's talking about more than one crime or more than one person. I'll assume it's crime because, you know, the Justice Department is fond of saying we investigate crimes, not people. Mm. And so thinking about different crimes, you could think of this very narrowly as obstruction of justice, obstruction of an official proceeding for efforts designed to stop the electoral vote count on January 6th, or something larger like conspiracy to defraud the United States, which would be all about election fraud from election day through the present, or if they are able to tie people at high levels within the Trump campaign, even seditious conspiracy, if they can tie those members to the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers who used force on January 6th. I suppose possibly even inciting an insurrection, though that brings with it some First Amendment concerns that could be challenging. But she could be talking about any of those crimes, I think.
Well, when you talk about, let's start with the obstruction of justice, are you talking about people like Roger Stone or retired General Michael Flynn who pled the Fifth? Are you talking about people who refused, you know, and are under subpoena to, you know, even come before the committee? Or are you talking about what Cheney also raised, allegations of witness tampering? She showed texts received by witnesses. One of the texts says, a person let me know you have your deposition tomorrow. He wants me to let you know that he's thinking about you. He knows you're loyal and you're going to do the right thing when you go in for your deposition. Now, it doesn't say Trump, but you know, is that witness tampering? Is that obstruction?
Yes, that is what I was referring to, and I think it can be. You know, people who are sophisticated don't say things directly like, you don't tell the truth or something bad will happen to you, or lie and something good will happen to you. They're much more subtle than that. And those are the kinds of sort of shaded threats or promises that are used frequently in cases involving mob bosses or drug dealers or corrupt public officials. And so I think that is potentially and at least worthy of investigation of obstruction of justice.
What about the revelations that witnesses like Cassidy Hutchinson were having their legal fees paid by the Trump Organization? Now, Hutchinson changed lawyers, stopped that abruptly when she realized she said she had more to testify about. But is that tampering to pay for lawyers?
Not necessarily. It is permissible for someone to pay someone else's legal fees, but the duty of loyalty for the lawyer is to the client, not to the person paying the fees. And so I think there's at least room to ask Cassidy Hutchinson herself why it was she decided to change lawyers and why it was she declined to share more details previously.
Huh. Well, but what Cassidy Hutchinson did share was gripping. Her claims that she directly heard President Trump at the rally say he didn't care if his supporters were armed. He wanted them to bypass metal detectors, be allowed into his rally, and then he sent them onto the Capitol. Your thoughts on any legal jeopardy there?
I think it, you know, demonstrates an extreme recklessness, but that is not enough to constitute a crime. If you want to be able to tie Donald Trump to the violence of the mob, I think you would need to show that there was intent and an agreement to use force. But it certainly raises some questions for investigation. It suggests that he knew the mob was armed and didn't care, and that when he urged them to go to the Capitol, he knew that they were armed and therefore posed a very significant danger. And when he sent that tweet about Mike Pence not having the courage to do his job, that also suggests knowing that he was inciting a very dangerous mob. But I do think that she is someone I would consider as an investigator, a bridge witness. That is, much of what she heard is hearsay and wouldn't be admissible in court, but it does highlight who does know. Mark Meadows, some really curious facts came out about what she said there, mm-hmm. that twice she tried to interrupt a conversation he was having in a closed door, and twice he closed the door on her, which was very unusual. When he was told that the violence had breached the Capitol and they should ask Donald Trump to do something to stop it, he was kind of nonchalant and said he doesn't want to do anything. She also talked about how Pat Cipollone came barreling down the hall and said, you know, if he goes to the Capitol, we will all be charged with every crime imaginable, and we need to stop this, or he will have blood on his hands, or you will have blood on your hands, to Mark Meadows. Yeah. What do they all mean by that? So I think she has really highlighted the need to hear directly from those witnesses about what was going on, because I think that they may have information that could tie Donald Trump to the violence and the force that occurred that day. And although I think there's already enough evidence to charge crimes like, well, to at least investigate crimes like conspiracy to defraud the United States or obstruction of an official proceeding, if they can tie him to the violence that day, I think everyone would agree that is a case that should be charged. And I think that there would be no question that that is a very, very serious crime.
Well, just to back up one second, you're talking about Mark Meadows, who was then President Trump's chief of staff, the top guy. She said, Cassidy Hutchinson said, and she's, as everyone in Washington is now saying, she's one of those young people that people don't notice, and she's hearing everything. And she says Meadows was told of intelligence ahead of January 6th that the day could get very violent, and he shared that with Trump, and that he participated by phone. He wanted to go to the Willard Hotel, where there were these war rooms set up that were organizing the January 6th insurrection. And Meadows wanted to go to that meeting that you mentioned. Instead, he took it by phone with Roger Stone, Rudy Giuliani, retired General Michael Flynn. Stone and Flynn have direct ties and contact with white supremacist groups who are also meeting in that hotel. But you're saying, you know, have these dots been connected?
I don't know that they've been connected yet, and I don't know that they were plotting the insurrection. They were certainly plotting challenging the election.
Right.
But were they plotting the insurrection? And I think there are some dots that remain to be connected. In addition to what you just shared, which is all very relevant, Cassidy Hutchinson also mentioned that Rudy Giuliani said to her on January 3rd, Cassidy, isn't it going to be so great on January 6th? And she said, what do you mean? What's going to happen on January 6th? Said, oh, it's going to be so great. The president is going to look so strong. He's going to go to the Capitol. It does sound like there was a plan afoot, and that Trump was also so unhappy about not going to the Capitol. I think they need to hear from all of these people about exactly what was that plan. They only need one of them to flip and to tell the story. But was the plan that Donald Trump was going to go to the Capitol? There's also that very odd testimony from Tony Ornato, who was the deputy chief of staff connected up with the Secret Service, who incorrectly told Trump that Mike Pence had already left the Capitol. So here's a possible scenario. The plan was to get Pence out of there, to get Trump inside the Capitol, and to have 100 members of Congress side with him as the properly elected president. Is that what was happening? I don't know, but there's enough little hints there to suggest that there is need to investigate what was the plan.
You mentioned Tony Ornato, again, Trump's deputy chief of staff, and he had been on his security detail. That alone, people thought was amazing that he would move from security to deputy chief of staff. And there's disagreement about her testimony that he, Tony Ornato, told her, Cassidy Hutchinson, that the president had lunged for the wheel of the car and lunged for the throat of the driver, that the president, you know, seemed to be disagreeing with where he was going. He wanted to go to the Capitol. But, you know, just very briefly, there have been other days of devastating testimony, how the president had reached out to Georgia officials with that phone call to, you know, get me some votes, then took a meeting with a low-level Department of Justice lawyer and considered elevating that man, a Trump supporter, to be the attorney general, and then, you know, the march on the Capitol. If you lay that out on a blueprint, that looks like a plan to take over elections, take over the Department of Justice so there's no prosecution, and take over the Capitol.
Yes, and I think that the moment of truth that occurs on January 3rd, where Pat Cipollone and the Justice Department officials are there and threaten to resign en masse if he goes forward with allowing Jeffrey Clark to become the attorney general and send letters to states suggesting that there is irregularity in their elections, which was false, and suggesting that they convene their legislatures for the purpose of electing alternate slates of electors, is absolutely something that is in the crosshairs of the Justice Department. We know that they have issued grand jury subpoenas and search warrants to get the contents of their phones for Jeffrey Clark and John Eastman. And so this piece of the plot, at the very least, is something that they are looking at, it appears, from that criminal investigative activity.
Barbara McQuaid, former U.S. attorney, professor at the University of Michigan Law School. Professor, thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Robin.